Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Matthew Wells at the United Nations in New York. In this week's programme, female entrepreneurs in Pakistan shine light on their local streets for the common good and channeling the power of music for women's rights around the world. But first, hopes that the colder weather might see a drop in the number of people risking their lives to reach Europe have proved groundless after the UN Children's Agency UNICEF on Wednesday said that the number of women and children seeking safety has doubled in a month. The warning comes after the UN reported that in October, nearly half of the 93,000 people crossing from Greece to the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia were women and children. UNICEF Special Representative Marie-Pierre Poirier stressed that the real number of those on the move is likely to be twice as high. Daniel Johnson has more.
Just back from a tour of refugee hotspots in Macedonia, Serbia and Croatia, UNICEF's Marie-Pierre Poirier warned that the crisis in Europe now clearly affects women and children as never before. The UNICEF special representative said that 45% of the 93,000 people passing from Greece to Macedonia in October were women and children, an 8% rise since September.
Clearly, the numbers are not decreasing, the overall numbers of people in the move. The idea we had for a while that winter, bad weather, rough seas and all this would create a decrease in the flow is not proving to be the case.
According to UNICEF, in June, only 1 in 10 of those making their way north through the continent via Macedonia was a child. In October, that number shot up to 1 in 3. Offering an explanation as to why people continue to make the perilous journey across the Mediterranean Sea from Turkey to Greece despite the colder weather, UNICEF's Marie-Pierre Poirier indicated that it's become cheaper to do so.
When you talk to the families on the move, and we had many contact with mothers, fathers, young people, they tell you that, and you ask why is it that you are risking your life, they say, well, right now the prices have gone down. It looked like smugglers, because of rough weather and, possible more difficulties, are giving a discount to anybody so that to keep the numbers up.
So far this year, 190,000 children have sought asylum in Europe at a rate of about 700 a day. But that's just the official number, and there are concerns that the real number of vulnerable people heading north through Europe is twice what governments are able to register. And while Poirier praised national authorities for trying to manage the flow of people as best they can, she called on the European Union to do more to alleviate the travellers' anxiety that borders will close. It was this worry, she said, that convinced heavily pregnant women that they had no choice but to give birth and move on soon afterwards, or else refuse medical or humanitarian assistance for fear of losing their place in the queue at the border. Some progress has been made in the way the most vulnerable are treated, Poirier said, explaining that it's now accepted in the Macedonian town of Gevgelia that women and children no longer have to wait in line for processing with men, and they can instead get some rest in UNICEF shelters. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Women in 250 villages in Pakistan have been literally lighting up their communities. They've been trained to operate solar lanterns, which they then rent to their neighbours, thus allowing the women to earn an income while providing a much-needed service. Fiza Farhan is co-founder and CEO of the Buxh Foundation, which is addressing energy needs in rural Pakistan through women's entrepreneurship. The non-profit is one of several winners of a UN-backed award that celebrates innovation. Ms. Farhan told Diane Penn about their project, Lighting a Million Lives.
When we set up Buxh Foundation in 2009, there were so many issues that had to be catered for in Pakistan to eradicate poverty. From no access to electricity in around 57% of Pakistan's population, to health issues, to women empowerment issues. So we decided to set up a turnkey project that has one core focus, but impacts multiple sustainable development goals in one go. And that's how we launched Lighting a Million Lives project, which is basically a program to provide access to energy to the completely off-grid villages with a model of woman entrepreneurship. So we set up a social enterprise in the village as a solar energy enterprise with solar lanterns, and we select and train a woman micro-entrepreneur from the community to become the light lady of that village. And this light lady then rents these lanterns out to the villagers so that everybody gets access to clean energy. The project became extremely successful, and today we have 250 villages covered with the project all over Pakistan.
Tell us us about these light ladies. How are they selected?
That's a very interesting question, because we had a very challenging round in establishing the process for selecting the light ladies. One, because we had to make sure that the community was engaged in their selection so that they have their ownership in the project. And two, we wanted to make sure that the men, the husbands of these light ladies, were on board. So it was actually more difficult convincing the husbands and the communities than the light ladies themselves to take up the project. And still, when we go to very conservative provinces in the north and in extremism-prone provinces of Balochistan, we really need to make sure that the light ladies are selected with the consent of the husbands and the male members of the community.
And what impact has this project had in the 250 communities where you are?
Oh, well, the impact is way beyond our expectations. So now in these 250 villages, we have seen various impacts, not just on the quality of life, the increased hours of education for the children, the enrollment of more girls in schools, which we thought was a very indirect impact we weren't thinking about earlier. The health hazards because of the kerosene and the informal fossil fuels we were working with earlier have drastically fallen, reduced to zero. The women are contributing 50% to the household's income now, and of course having a 100% increase in their household income. Every house is saving money by going to the shift of clean energy, because it's very interesting, but they were actually spending more earlier for their kerosene and candle wax. And apart from the normal impacts that we could assess, there have been very surprising impacts, such as reduction of mortality rates, because earlier the children were born at night under kerosene fumes and they would choke to death. The lanterns are actually saving lives, not just electrifying lives.
Nigerian singer Nneka and Ms. V from Ghana are also shining a light, but this time it's through the power of music in aid of women's rights. They stopped by the World Bank headquarters in Washington to participate in the series #MusicForDev. The initiative welcomes artists from around the globe to share their talent while raising awareness about development issues. D'Banj, also from Nigeria, kicked off Music for Dev earlier this year, dedicating his song Extraordinary to all the strong and inspiring women of the world. Anna Carmo has more.
Nigerian singer Nneka has become one of the most vocal advocates of anti-corruption and women's rights in Africa since she released her debut album Victim of Truth in 2005. Now she has taken her message to one of the most powerful global institutions there is, the World Bank headquarters in Washington.
I use my music as a platform to express issues as such. I grew up in a country, Nigeria, where, you know, as a woman, you do not have that much freedom to express yourself.
Nneka, who has shared the stage with acts such as The Roots and Femi Kuti, enjoys lending her star power to NGOs.
I use my music also to, partner with other NGOs who have to do with women specifically. I work with the AWDF, which is the African Women's Development Fund in Ghana. I am their cultural ambassador.
Ghana is also home for Miss V. The 23-year-old singer encourages youth to determine their future through her single Natural Girl. She explains the message behind the hit.
Na 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 na, I'm a natural girl, yeah.
Na 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 na.
Natural Girl is very important to me because it has an amazing message, and this message is just telling particularly young girls, but the youth in general, to be themselves, to not let society push them to be what they do not want to be.
Besides rooting for women's rights, Miss V wants to do her part for the poor. The song End Poverty is a call to action for everyone in the world to join the fight.
So in the song, there's one line that runs through that says, Mikata miwadaka. It just means we should all come together. We should all educate each other on poverty and how to get rid of poverty. It's not one person's work, it's everybody's work. So we should all come together.
While both artists will continue to help empower women through music, Nneka has some special advice.
Whatever you do, do with confidence, as long as you are grounded. There are no boundaries in this life. Only when you take someone else's freedom or space, then that's something else, you know.
Anna Carmo, United Nations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew Wells.
In this madness, in this world, with its swiftness and its coldness, you're my peace of mind.